sick of all you sick.
In a world where net neutrality is under attack, three brave broadcasters step up to the plate and accept the challenge. What is net neutrality, and how can we prevent it?
Was that, wait. Was that? That was a G Pies intro.
And go.
Yeah, whatever. That's actually a good intro.
How
okay,
is everybody.
So today we're going to talk about.
We don't want to present it. We want to save it.
Just go for it. Okay. So today, an unconventional episode. Not taking shots. I told everyone to drink a little bit beforehand, just so we could be like kind of tipsy.
And clearly, we did.
Give a hot take. Eric decided to do his really cool voice. Okay. So with me today is, as you heard just now, Eric Early. He's physically with me, and then we have phoned in via Zencaster, Miss Nina Hernandez.
What's up, everyone?
Yeah, again, just wanted to. It was about a week ago that Ajit Pai, during Thanksgiving break, announced that they were going to vote on net neutrality. The thing they're trying to pass to revoke it is called Restoring Internet Freedom Order. Yeah, the freedom for people to fuck us is what it is. Anyway, so first and foremost, if you haven't, this applies to you too. But do this after the podcast. Go to gofccyourself.com. John Oliver set up a thing there where it'll redirect you. If you go to that URL, it'll redirect you to the page where you can make a public comment. And last time the public comments helped a lot. I don't think they'll help a lot this time, but it's better than doing nothing.
Yeah, I guess do we start there? I mean, like, what is, like, the...
Oh, there's so much. So, like... I know the people who are listening to this podcast, if you're listening to it, you probably know about this because one, you're probably a millennial, and two, you're probably tech savvy anyway.
And you're on the internet.
Right. Like if you're on the internet and you're a millennial, you probably know what net neutrality is by now. But real quick, it's just the really great way that I heard to explain net neutrality to someone who is a complete novice on the topic is imagine that your electricity provider wants to try to make a deal with Black & Decker so that they will provide electricity better to Black & Decker products than any other product in your home. So now all the shit in your home that isn't Black & Decker will be undervolted and will either work shittily or like not at all. And that is literally a great example of how it would work. That's exactly how it would work.
It's the idea that internet is currently classified as a utility. And like electricity, like water, like sewage, anything like that, the utility companies can't charge you differently based on what you use the utility for.
Right.
So using the electricity example, your electric provider can't charge you differently for the electricity you use for your refrigerator than they can for the electricity you use for your television.
Yeah, it's the thing that makes the internet the internet. There was actually a really great article in the New York Times sometime this week that was something to the effect of the internet is dying and – hold on. I got to pull it up real quick. It's on the subreddit. Bop-boop-bop-bop-bop. Or maybe not. Maybe I didn't throw it in there. Anyway, plug subreddit. Go there. If you want to submit shit, it's reddit.com/rtequila. Anyway, yeah, the article was something to the effect of the internet has been dying for a while and this will be the final death nail. Is that the word? Death knell or nail?
No.
The nulling of the death bell.
There we go. It'll just null out. You might not die. I don't know what that implies. yeah, so net neutrality is...
It wasn't an English major, people.
There you go. Yeah, is it death knell or death nail?
Nell.
It's Nell?
K-N-E-L.
K-N-L-E? Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Like,
which is like a
listen to Metallica. Like
killing blood. Like, yeah.
Okay, so it's like hitting. Okay, yeah, final death knell. Anyway, yeah, net neutrality is basically like how, I mean, like when you think like, I'm going to do like a tech startup, like it's probably centered around the internet and the idea that net neutrality is still there for you to be able to compete and Spotify to not like pay to have better service than your new upstart audio company. Yeah. Anyway.
Or vice versa for you as a smaller corporation or as an underling of one of the internet service providers to automatically get a foot in and have the ISPs slow down
right,
other services.
Well, on top of it, like, I mean, we being me and my girlfriend are no like media giants in terms of our podcasts, but it would fuck small content creators as well, immensely. Anyway, yeah. So that's a thing. So the main reason that Ajit Pai is ending net neutrality is because this has been like a Republican / telecom aim for a really, really, really long time. And right, they just want to do evil things.
Regulation in general. I mean, that, come on, Dan. I mean, generally, it's a philosophical difference between, you know, people who think that regulation can government regulation can have good outcomes in terms of policing or influencing market behavior. And in this case, they just don't. They think it's an overreach. They thought it was an overreach for the whole time. This has been, you know, so I don't know that they think it's evil.
No, they, but here's the thing is that their argument is that this will help people because for some reason they need even more money to invest in infrastructure. And so, and this will transition into something that Eric wanted to talk about. Also, Nina, click the link I just sent because it's hilarious. If you guys haven't seen, Ajit Pai is the FCC chairman who is kind of spearheading this campaign.
Yeah, but he was brought in actually under Obama. Right. The way that the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, I think it's a 7-person group. And the way it works is that you can have 3 people from one political party and 4 people from the other political party. So you can never have a full group of people.
Right.
So Ajit Pai was actually brought in under the Obama administration, but he was promoted to be the chair of the FCC under
the Trump administration. President
Trump.
Yeah.
So he's kind of the figurehead now, and he's the one who's especially taking a lot of flack for kind of pushing forward this whole idea of revoking the Title II kind of effect for, you know, impacting net neutrality.
And this guy, he's kind of... he's kind of like a petulant man child because for some reason to most meetings he goes to, he carries this enormous Reese's mug with him everywhere and tries to show it off and like drinks it in the middle of the meeting. It's really weird. So there's that. Anyway, so yeah, the argument for getting rid of net neutrality is that it is, you know, this whole effectively price gouging consumers and or companies on the other end would give them the profits to invest in better infrastructure. But in 2015, Time Warner Cable made 95% profit margins. So fuck that.
It doesn't. I tried to look up something, and this is how I came across the article that we'll talk about a little bit later. But it doesn't actually cost that much money to like transmit information. Like all the ISP has to do is, you know, taken in, you know, requests from an end user like ourselves, and then redirect that out to the server where that information is hosted.
Right.
I guess the other part of that argument is like, oh, well, this will allow them to differentiate different services like, you know, streaming or video games, stuff like that. But as one writer pointed out, I mean, like, that's already determined by bandwidth, right?
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, we just saw a really funny thing of a Jupiter here. It's, oh man.
Glad you guys are listening.
I can't even, this is like obscenely hilarious. Like, here, hold on. It's just,
this
I
is
saw,
like Newgrounds.
No, I don't want to see it. Oh,
I know, it's too late.
It's
you
too
have
late.
To, you have
no.
to.
So I just, for the record, I just saw the thumbnail for this meme of a Jupiter. I literally just Googled a Jupiter, and this is like the 10th thing that comes up. There, I've sent it to you.
No.
Oh my god.
Oh god.
Okay, I'm sorry for not listening, but that's what distracted me.
Oh god.
Yeah, we're a little distracted over on this.
It's literally Ajit Pai photoshopped over like Nazi banners and then a dick flying into his mouth.
Over and over again.
Oh my god.
The internet is a location of serious.
Oh, this happened, yeah. Anyway, yeah. He's a petulant man child. So they claim that things, you know, like investing in better infrastructure, like fiber optics and whatnot, which they make ridiculously high profits. Like they're some of the highest profiting industries in the entire country, and they're not investing in infrastructure to a high degree right now, at least not enough to justify this argument. And then on top of it, they use zero rating as something that would be beneficial for consumers when actually ultimately, because of reasons discussed earlier, it would hurt consumers. Zero rating, just as a quick explainer, is in practice, for instance, that thing that's happening on T-Mobile called Binge On, where if you're using select services, like I believe Netflix and Spotify, you can continue streaming that stuff without it counting towards your cap. During Tom Wheeler's chairmanship at the FCC, that was a direct violation of the Title II soft reclassification as a utility. Because, you know, if I'm an upstart trying to get into the market, that clearly disadvantages me and ultimately the consumer in terms of the diversity of products that they get.
Like one water utility customer can't pay for better water than another.
Right, or like, I suppose the analogy here would be like, if like Dasani gets like in your water bill or some shit that fucks any other like water company, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard to use the analogy of like Dasani when it's like information, but it's kind of like, it's helping one big company and hurting the entire rest of the market, which ultimately hurts the consumer. In the beginning, it helps the consumer because, you know, it's not counting towards my data. Great. But ultimately, it hurts because it hurts consumers because it leads to less diversity in the like the products that you can have ultimately.
Right, I guess like the argument is that the next upstart Netflix, you know, whatever it is, whatever medium, like we'll have a harder time breaking out.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of it like a similar example, and the best one that I can kind of come up with off the top of my head is if your electric provider kind of waived the cost of television for while you're you know, watching TV that's provided by Comcast.
Right.
So, you know, if you are
right, you'd like no electricity, you have to pay, you don't have to pay any if you're watching TV through Comcast, right? Like,
yeah,
that.
But if you're watching TV through
like AT&T or whoever,
AT&T
the fuck.
Or someone else, then you have to pay for it. So that clearly advantages
one company
over the other, even though on the surface level it kind of looks like it benefits the end user,
right?
You know, like we get free electricity, ooh, but at the same time it also takes away competitive advantage from people who could be providing
a better service.
Similar service just because two companies made an agreement.
Right Anyway, I think we should move on to this thing that Eric brought. I thought it was really interesting. It's this Quartz article titled "How the Internet Works and Why It's Impossible to Know What Makes Your Netflix Slow." And I mean, he can explain it better, but basically just talks about the back end of the internet, basically what happens between like the internet hubs that connect the world and the ISPs. So not net neutrality, but the pipes in the back end.
I think it did come up. I think this article was written in 2014 as a response to the first net neutrality debate that happened at this time. And I want to point out for the record, it seems like this article was sponsored by AT&T.
Oh shit, for real?
Isn't that, yeah.
Oh, it's a sponsored content
by AT&T. So
AT&T business.
So, you know, maybe take with a grain of salt, but oh, that's something different. Never mind.
But this is like AT&T. This isn't their internet business.
No, sorry.
This is something else.
Ignore what I just said up until now. I thought that was for the article that we were on, but
oh no, this is just AT&T is on the website in general, yeah, not mind. Just the article.
Ignore me. Except for now, pay attention now. if you don't really know how the internet works, this article is actually a pretty decent breakdown of how everything works, like once you send out a request from your computer, what it does. But basically, it breaks everything up into two sections. You have everything that goes on between the internet service provider and yourself, and that's everything that you experience.
Right.
And then there's everything that happens between the internet service provider and the rest of the internet. So the internet it's just a bunch of servers and addresses for information.
Right.
And what the internet service provider does is it locates those addresses and it pulls information from those different servers. And if you imagine it being like a literal internet superhighway, the only way that information can travel is through these sort of pipelines of information.
For ISP to consumer. To user. Yeah.
So that's where it gets tricky. So everything between the internet service provider and the user is what's called the last mile. It's basically kind of the last leg of the journey between right. the content that you're loading and what you actually see on your screen. And the thing is that this net neutrality debate, all of the arguments that you see about a fast lane versus a slow lane, or blocking certain websites or domains, or slowing down things like Netflix or anything like that, all of that happens in that last mile, everything that goes on between right. the ISP and the user. But what what this article points out, which I really appreciated, is that it points out that the issues that the ISPs are bringing up, which are legitimate issues, that, you know, something like 30 to 40% of bandwidth is consumed by Netflix or something like that. Mm. You know, that's a legitimate problem, that there's one source of information that is sending out, you know, so much bandwidth to all of these ISPs. And the problem is that these internet superhighways that are in place can't handle that. And the question right. comes up of who pays for it. Does the content provider have to pay for it? Does the ISP have to pay for it? Currently, you actually see a lot of third parties who are building these highways and then charging content providers to access them, which works fine if you're a small, like, you know, a small website or something like that. But if you're Netflix, or if you're Hulu, or if you're Google, that's just not going to cut it. One of the other things that this article points out is that you see a lot of arguments about like Netflix in particular, but, and this is for 2014 in particular, but you didn't see a lot of arguments against YouTube and against Google, despite the fact that they also had a pretty big bandwidth consumption. And the reason for that is that Google actually builds its own internet pipelines and hooks them up with the internet service provider. So they didn't have to pay for that infrastructure. Google has ways to build that infrastructure and hook it up directly to the ISP so that your YouTube will load faster. So those are the kinds of things that ISPs are looking for, is basically they want content providers to build this infrastructure, so that they, you know, kind of don't have to do it. But in lieu of that, if the content provider is consuming a ton of bandwidth, but not providing the infrastructure, that's where you start running into issues. So the idea of net neutrality, you know, creating a fast lane and a slow lane in that last mile between the internet service provider and the user doesn't actually address the issue that goes on between the ISP and the content source. And there's a lot of stuff that I'm glossing over on this article.
Sure.
If you're interested in understanding the framework of how the internet works, I recommend reading through it.
Yeah. That's also a lot. That's more the problem on the back end as well in general. Which is a lot to parse.
And so it's like there are issues with internet infrastructure at the moment. The problem is that net neutrality is an indirect and frankly bad way of addressing the legitimate yep. issues that exist. The way to do it is to, you know, have corporations create agreements with each other, but it seems like
loose
they
rules
don't want to do that
what
because
you contribute.
They're on good working terms at the moment.
Right. Huh. Yeah, this is,
and the question is like how would one do like share the load of building the, I guess they're, is this what they're calling it, the backbone?
Yeah.
Like share the load in terms of like money, I guess if you're like being downloaded X amount that you would chip in X amount of your profits or whatever if you're making profits.
And again, this was released in 2014, and I think since then you've actually, like, Netflix is starting to build servers of all their information that are housed locally at ISP hubs.
Okay.
So that kind of cuts out the middleman a little bit. So there's solutions that are being proposed that are being done. But all that to say that even the issues that are kind of being brought up as why you need to remove the internet from being a Title II utility, it doesn't make
it's
sense.
Bullshit.
It still doesn't make sense.
I mean, and it's really fucking counter bullshit. To all the public, I mean, most, at least all the public policy, like, trends that I've observed just in, you know, my general work as a journalist. And everybody, Republicans, Democrats, libertarians, you know, everybody talks about calm yourself. it's such a popular topic about how rural areas, urban areas, everybody needs internet to have, you know, at least a fair shake.
It's a fucking utility. Yes.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not going to get a job without the fucking internet at home. Like, you know how many jobs have applications online only?
Exactly. A kid can't live without clean clothes. A kid can't live without internet. You know, it's the same kind of
stuff. I feel like saying that you're in favor of net neutrality is like saying that you're for the middle class. It's a thing that you can say, but you don't have to do jack shit about it.
Something that's like, for some reason, like in the middle, quote unquote, of the political spectrum now, like, oh, I think the EPA should have the right to like regulate clean water and air. For some reason, like that's on the cutting board now.
Well, apparently it's happening. So
I know, like, it's fucking ridiculous that this is even an issue. God fucking damn it. Yeah. Yes, good point, Nina, actually. Well spoken as well. I appreciate your insights. I put a whole section in this doc called What Can We Do About It? I'm just kind of like sitting here like picking at shit on my table because I'm like kind of like basically nothing. But Nina put a list of things that we can do now from other articles. So maybe I should let her be optimistic before I'm a pessimist.
Right. Well, I mean, I'll be there with you. Like, it is a long shot, but obviously, and I'm a journalist, so I don't personally sign petitions. But if that's what
is that
you
like
feel
a journalistic
like doing,
integrity thing?
Yeah, I can't take. I mean, I don't. I just don't sign petitions. It's my general course of
Petitions
life.
Are also
yeah.
really easy to fake and set up. You know,
like that's fair. But some people feel like they're for something, and some people feel like they do something. So you can go to battleforthenet.com, as Daniel mentioned, and it'll help you. It'll like you know, help you write your senators or your congressmen, whatever your opinion may be. If you like the new rules, or if you don't like the new rules, you can tell them that.
And what's more, the thing is, like, so
I doubt you've made it this long in the podcast if you disagree with Daniel.
Yeah. As often as I shit on the right.
Fair.
The thing with contacting your congressperson is that what they can do effectively is either pressure the FCC or legislate. Like, those are their options. And one of the ways out of this, like, when I said I was pessimistic, basically this is going to happen on December 14th. I mean, go ahead to the website I mentioned was gofccyourself.com, John Oliver made, and you can easily in like a minute throw up your your, I forget what they call it on the website, but it's basically like you comment and you could be like, a Ajit Pai should go fuck himself. I want net neutrality. Then leave the comment. But this is like, there's like a 99.9% chance of this going through no matter what, because there are two Democrats and I forget how many Republicans on the, in the FCC right now, and all the Republicans. Four, I would guess. Yeah, it would be four or five, right?
If there's seven people total.
Yeah, then the five Republicans, I think. There's only two Democrats sitting on there. So there are only two people on the fucking board that are going to fight against it. So it's going through. And the way this whole process works is that it's really long and drawn out. And there will be a dissent opinion. It's like something going through a court, like the Supreme Court in the United States. There will be a dissenting opinion. But the difference is that this won't necessarily be law immediately. The Democrats wrote their dissenting opinion. The Republicans will respond. After that, you'll see a bunch of these lawsuits against this new anti-net neutrality bill. What is it called again? Restoring Internet Freedom Order. So there'll be petitions for review, they're called, the lawsuits against it. And then the way that works is that has to go to an appeal court, a federal appellate court, of which I believe there are 12 or 13 in the United States. I'm not going to look that up. Listeners, you fact check me. I don't give a fuck. It's 12 or 13. And it will, depending on where those lawsuits are filled out, obviously because this is a federal thing, there's going to be a fuck ton in different areas covered by different circuit courts. And so there will be a literal fucking lottery in terms of which of the circuit courts it goes to. And depending on the circuit court, because of the way the federal government works, it could go either way. If it goes to DC, which is fairly liberal, if I remember correctly, and that has already seen some net neutrality cases, it could go our way. If this goes to, you know, a more conservative circuit court, we could be fucked. And even then, there are ways to appeal the court that it goes to, and that's a whole thing. So there's a lot that goes on. Ultimately, you know, the court can decide to throw out the whole thing, part of it, none of it. And then on top of it, even after that, the Supreme Court can take it. So this is up in the air, even as the FCC goes. And then on top of
that... Right, it's a long game.
Right. And on top of that, what's important in contacting legislators is that... the ball is in their court in terms of legislating on net neutrality, because that will trump any of the shit.
Trump.
Oh, he's ruined that word for me. He really has ruined the word. I can't say it anymore. God damn it. He's ruined the word. That will go over. I can't even say the word Trump anymore. What kind of world do we live in?
Trump's America.
That's the one. That's the one.
That's the one.
So yeah, ultimately, that's how it's going to look in terms of going forward. And then what we can do is, well, one, comment now the little that it does, and two, pressure our legislators. Hopefully, Dems and liberals in general. I mean, I'm not a fan of the two-party system, but hopefully, point being, in 2018, Congress goes to the left enough to maybe legislate on net neutrality and amongst other things, take this back. But you know, it might go our way in the circuit courts. It might not. And Nina put a bunch of stuff in here that we can possibly do. Email FCC leadership. Petitions I'm not necessarily a believer in either. I don't think they get that far a lot of the time. Yeah. Let's see, protesting and calling to Congress. Again, that's the main one long-term, I think. Long-term is
honestly the main ones that make a difference. Yeah. Like, if people in the office like hear about it, those are the things that count. Those are,
they keep
track. That's how it reaches the center of the congressman's ear.
And this battle of the net, I'm sure this website's great, but to be completely frank, the Congress people now don't really pay attention that much to written things, let alone emails.
Yeah.
And the best way to actually get to them is calling them.
Yep.
Which I've only done once, but Yeah, I should do it more often.
Yeah, dude, there's people that like consistently, like, that's their thing. That's their way of like protesting everything. Not their only way, but one of the ways they protest.
It's the most powerful one.
2 minutes.
Right. It's more powerful than writing. Yeah. Right.
And you're not going to speak to your representative directly unless you somehow get really lucky. But the staff that work in those offices will keep track of whether you are for or against things, and they'll keep track of any specific concerns that you have. So I called my congresswoman here in Chicago.
Tchaikovsky or whatever?
Yeah.
She's pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah. I called her about the tax plan because of the grad student tax thing, which fortunately has been removed. So
that's good.
I like money. you know, and it took 1 minute, like, for me to make my pitch. I said everything that I needed to, and she said, you know, all right, I have the information down.
Does she pick up?
No, not her.
Oh, okay.
One of her staff.
Okay. She's great. She's one of my favorite congresspeople. But yeah, that is, I should probably not lean far away from the mic. That is,
what did you say?
Huh? No, calling and voting in people who are going to
get the real Slim Shady, please stand up.
That's me. Y'all, like, you never seen a white person before. Hands all on the floor. Anyway.
I repeat.
No, yeah, calling your congressperson is one of the best ways to apply any pressure as a person with no power.
You're gonna be up,
you socialist scumbag.
That's me, fam. Okay,
that's me, fam.
On that note, I think we've done a really good job of just outlining things in general. I think we should call it here. Thanks everyone for listening. You know, if it's not December 14th or after, go ahead and you know, leave a comment on the FCC's page. Again, the URL is gofccyourself.com, and then it'll bring you right to, let's see, fcc.gov/ecf. Yeah, the proceedings filter, and then you click on the Restoring Internet Freedom, and then you hit New Filing, and then from there you just have this whole comment sheet, and you fill out your stuff, you put your address and your email and shit, and at the end where it says continue to review screen, you'll be able to review all that stuff. And then in the comment section, just put "fuck you, Ajit Pai." No, but whatever you want. But yeah, thanks.
Whatever you want.
Whatever you want. Man. If you hate net neutrality, then go ahead and write that. Fuck you. All right, peace. We out. You guys aren't gonna say bye? You're just gonna sit there.
Bye. Peace.
So Eric's like, I don't believe in saying bye.
Fuck that shit up. I'm sick of all you sycophants, ignorance and miscreants, simpletons and little ants, trying to split their sentience. People peddle pestilence, land pipe on their settlements, and I don't think it was even food for it was excrement. Get your head in it. Second wind represent white shit, kid. I never stepped in it. I reckon it's older than the New Testament. Edit it, shit. It's better to drink water for the lead in it.